Now tonight, James Van Praagh joins us. The medium, his new work, How to Heal a Grieving Heart. He co-wrote it with Doreen Virtue. I'm looking forward to talking with James when we come right back on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. James Van Praagh is arguably the most famous medium of our time. Has a very unique ability to communicate with spirits of men, women, children, and animals who have died. He has talked with thousands of people through his lectures. He was just a guest on Beyond Belief with us, and he's back now talking about his latest work with Doreen Virtue, How to Heal a Grieving Heart. And there are many. James, welcome back, my friend. How are you?
Thank you, George. Thank you for having me, and lovely to speak with you again.
Just heard a story of a couple that died within hours of each other. One died, the other obviously grieving. This happens way too much, James, doesn't it?
Very common, very, very common. Actually, last week, clients of mine, same situation. The mother died, and within a week, the father died. So it does happen sometimes that way.
What happens physically to the system, to the heart, that has somebody just pass on like that?
Yeah, you know, you've heard of people dying with a broken heart, and I think it's very true. I think on so many levels, we shut down, and there's such a connection on the soul level with the other person that in some way they're soulmates, and they don't want to continue without the other one, and they do it together. So that happens quite often.
Animals, too. They get attached to you, and if you pass on, sometimes the animal will die.
Exactly right. It happens very, 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 very often. It happens. I hear it all the time. And it's very, very common. It's amazing what love can do, isn't it?
I don't know if your ears ring wherever you might go, James, but I'm constantly talking about you to groups and people who want to know about the medium, James Van Praagh.
Well, thank you, George.
I mean, you're really tuned in, and you understand people. I've seen you at your own speaking engagements. I've seen you on our television show. But tell me the difference between you as a medium and some people out there that call themselves psychics.
Well, I believe everybody is psychic. I think we're all born with intuition. And intuition means into the soul, language of the soul. So everybody's born with that instinct, if you will, or intuition. So so a medium definitely has a high level of intuition. But a medium is not only psychic, if you will, but they're able to attune themselves to higher levels of energy, if you will, of dimensions. And they're really able to be an interface between the higher vibrations of the spirit world and those of the earth. And they're the in-between, the medium. And so every medium is psychic, but not every psychic is a medium. It's very two different, very distinct things.
How long have you been doing the medium work then?
Well, about 30 years now, about 30 years.
Yeah. Not trying to age you here, not trying to get that.
It's quite a while. I look back and go, wow, it's been, I was kind of one of the first ones out there, pioneers out there, to really bring this to the public consciousness. And really, one of the first mediums ever on television to introduce people to this sort of work. And it's really changed over those years. I mean, I look back just 10 years ago, it's really changed. You know this. I mean, since you started with your show, it's changed. The consciousness has changed so much. And it's good to see. It's good to see that finally things are moving and people are opening up their minds to other ways of looking at life and death.
Now, we know people are changing. What about the spirit realm? Is that changing too?
I think that as above, so below, as below, so above. And I think that we are always influenced by those with the higher levels, the highest spheres. I think they're always trying to influence us. And really, the great works that we do here, people in spirit really will benefit from those works we do. Very interesting. When I did my work as a medium, and you've seen me do the demonstrations, many people have come to see the demonstrations, will come there for a very specific reason, to maybe contact a loved one who's passed over. And what I tell people now when I do my demonstrations, I say, hey, listen, you're here not necessarily for yourself, but you're also here for the spiritual realms. Because those in the spirit world might need to come back and say something, that they're sorry, please forgive me. And you are giving them, but you're coming here tonight, you are giving them that opportunity, that one last chance to say I love you, and to help them maybe move on to another level in the spiritual world. So it really does, just because people pass over to the spirit world, doesn't necessarily mean that they're evolved. They're very much the same conditions they were here on the earth life, the mind was, will be the very much the same way they end up when they go to the spiritual levels.
Well,
so people should be aware of that.
Now, though everybody might have this psychic ability, not everybody can do what you do. Not everybody can be a medium, can they?
No. I always say to people, it's like a concert pianist. Everybody's born with the possibility of playing the piano, but not everybody's a concert pianist. So I've come back, I believe, in this lifetime, really to work as a medium, as a sensitive. And I think, really, George, I think it's been lifetimes that I've been working to get to this point where I've come to help, if you will, help the world, help heal the world as far as death. And so I think I've been preparing this for many, many lifetimes, and now it's being actually realized in this lifetime.
Let's talk about the grieving process, James, which, of course, was the basis for your book, How to Heal a Grieving Heart. When someone dies, when a loved one dies, it is no question it's difficult. I mean, I remember when my father passed on, I did the program that night. He had died earlier in the day. And then I jumped on a plane and went to Detroit. I needed to do the show. I needed to do it for myself. I guess people grieve in different ways. But how do you get somebody through a situation, for example, when they've lost their child or a husband's lost his dear wife or vice versa?
Well, well, as you know, it's not an easy thing at all. I mean, it's one of the hardest things to go through in this life, I believe, is the loss of a child. I think it's one of the hardest griefs and losses to go through. Nobody, as you said, nobody grieves the same way. Everybody grieves differently. And everybody's situation is unique to them and unique to the relationship that they had with that person. It's important that people realize that really dying is a part of life. Dying is part of life. It's hard to say that, but it's true. It is a process. Everything is changing. The body cells die every day. And we, as a process of life, we tend to, part of it is death. The most important thing to realize, though, is the soul never dies. The soul moves to another level. The physical body might be over, but the soul continues on very, very much alive. And that's what they have to realize. That's what to start opening up their minds to knowing the awareness that they are still connected with that loved one on the soul level. And if they open up their minds a little bit and listen to those little subtle whispers, they might hear the feel, they might hear their loved one, feel them close to them, sense them. And so sometimes I think it's a great opportunity for the living to understand spirit, their spiritual selves themselves, have a relationship with them, their own selves and their own souls. And I believe that people never die without leaving gifts behind to the living. And I think we just have to have the courage to look inside and see what's going on there.
When someone begins to grieve, is there a guideline for how long it takes before that grieving wears off?
I don't people used to say that to me. You know, my child passed away, and people said, it's been 2 years, it should be over by now. But I say, there is no time limit. There is no time limit to the loss. Again, every loss is unique to itself. So I think it's just changing your way of life and change your entire way of life, how to live life. And so there are no cut rules, if you will, on how long it is to grieve. Everybody's different.
And grieving isn't just for death. I mean, a lot of people grieve in a divorce or a career
crisis,
change.
A new job, a new house. All the time. We grieve every day. We have losses every day, but we don't all grieve every day over those losses. And until maybe many years later, when people look back in their lives, maybe things are not working out, say, oh my gosh, I never grieved over the loss of that job. I never grieved over that separation. I never grieved over the move I had to make. So there are many, many different types of griefs and losses we go through every day, but we don't acknowledge them, unfortunately. But yeah, I wrote a book called Healing Grief many years ago, which talks about the exact same that thing, where we have many different types of losses, but we need to really honor them and grieve for them.
Is grieving healthy?
I think grieving is healthy. I think it's acknowledging what's been going on, the life you've lived with that person or that situation that's been a part of you, and it's a natural part of you and needs to be honored. And I think part of that grief process is honoring that, which we experienced in life. So I think it's a very important part that we do grieve. And, we will get through it. We will get through it. It's just really a change of our life. It's a transition. It's a transition, and we will look at ourselves differently. Hopefully it will benefit ourselves, and everyone who walks upon our path that comes into our path.
I've always wondered about people who go through the torment of attempting or even committing suicide, James. The pain, the anguish that they must be going through at that specific moment to do that. But, other than someone and I want to preface this, who might be going through a horrendous health issue and they're in massive pain and there's no way out for them. I want to tuck them aside for a moment. But the person who grieves to the point where they're contemplating suicide or they even attempt suicide, isn't it always brighter later that whatever dark moment they're going through at any particular time, it's bound to get better down the line?
I think so. I certainly would hope so. But, you know, I've been asked that question many times about suicide, the conditions of suicide. And again, every suicide is unique because there are different types of suicide. Someone who had a stock in, let's say, Google, and it went down and they jumped out the window is very different than somebody who had a brain disorder, a chemical disorder. So it's handled differently, if you will. I think that we have to understand that part of these things we go through in this physical earth, these lessons that we're learning here, are really a relationship we have with our souls and each other, and that we bring these conditions to us, these experiences to us, in order to grow and learn. But sometimes it seems overwhelming. Sometimes it just seems so overwhelming that we can't bear it, that it's impossible. I think, though, George, that sometimes, I think the hardest parts of our lives, the hardest times we're going through, are the ones really which really pierce open our heart and really we learn from the most. I think we really do learn the most from the hardest experiences in life.
I think so, too. Take us through the dying process for someone who physically dies.
Sure. And it's funny you asked me this question because I'm writing a current book right now about that, just that. And I had the...
I hope it's not a how-to.
No. But, yeah, in a way. I had the privilege several months back to help a companion of mine, a colleague of mine, pass. And it was Debbie Ford who wrote The Shadow Process,
oh, yes.
Life Coach. And she asked me 2 years ago, would I help her? We were doing the process. And I said, Debbie, if I'm able to, I would be glad to. I'd be honored to. Well, it just so happens as the universe puts these things together, I believe, I totally believe it, that I was able to do that with her through a meditation. It was a very, very profound meditation. And Debbie, who's been around this work for many, many years, was kind of like lost. In a way, she wasn't sure what was going on because she was around the body, but she was mentally out of the body, but she was still within the body. A very difficult thing. So through meditation, I spoke to Debbie very clearly. And I said, Debbie, why won't you leave? And she said, because I have a son. And she was very, very distraught and very mentally connected, if you will, caught up in that condition of the mind, which is, yeah. I'm here, I'm a mother, I have a son, I have a responsibility, I cannot leave. And I assured her, I said, Debbie, it's okay. Your mother's there, your sister's there. You'll be okay. People will take care of him. It'll be fine. And she said something to me which was very interesting. She said, it's so strange, James. I feel like I had a new set of keys for a car, but I don't know how to drive. And she said, I've been teaching people all my life about how to live, but I've never taught them how to die. And she said, I'm not sure how to do it. So I actually walked her through the process, and I was able to tell her that there were three individuals in the spiritual realms in the light, who were her father and two friends of hers in Miami. And I picked up on all this information. I was telling this to her mentally, saying, they're waiting for you. Because I could see them also, clairvoyantly. I could see them reaching for her. But she was so caught up in that mindset that she had to be close to her son and the conditions of the physical that she wasn't able to release. So I helped her in a way mentally to prepare her to release. It's okay. You can be with them more in the spirit world. You can be around them more from that side than you can on this side. And she said, are you sure? I said, yes. And I said, look, you know, if you see a golden light or something feels light and you see people there, just go for it. Are you sure, James? Yes, Debbie. Well, that was in the meditation. An hour later, the phone rings. It's her sister, and Debbie just passed.
Gosh, that's so, a great lady, too.
Great lady. Great, great lady. But it shows you how people who even do this work, this light work, this spiritual work, sometimes they get caught up in the conditions of the mind or their life conditions that they're not sure what to do next. So sometimes you need a guidance for that. So I'm just actually writing a book to help people, to remind them what this whole journey is all about.
You know, I don't know if we have data like this, James, but when someone dies like David Frost just did, just keeled over and died of a heart attack and he's gone, or are people dying primarily in a hospital bed or hospice and they just stop and they die and they stop breathing and that's it? I mean, is there a statistic that tells us how people die?
You know, there's only but three ways to go. So with respiration, the heart, the three different ways of leaving the body. But remember, that's the physical we're seeing. But the soul, many times, the soul will leave the physical body before physical death. Happens quite a bit, where even in a coma situation, the spirit will be outside the body, looking down at the body, or very next to the body, standing to the right of the body, very, very aware of what's going on. It actually happened with my father. I was very aware that he was in a coma. He was standing right behind his body, right there, and he said, "I said, yes, it's okay to go. It's okay to go." And he said, "I just want to make sure everything's in place." I said, "Yes, everything's in place." So, and I've worked for years with people with Alzheimer's and people in hospice care and people in hospitals, and I'm always aware that the spirit is out of that body before the body shuts down.
Tell me, when people die, what that transition is like for them.
Well, it's so funny you're asking me this, George, because I'm writing about it right now. So funny, before the phone call. Well, every situation, again, is different because everybody is different. The death is different. But really, the commonality is that the soul leaves the body. There is no pain at all when the soul leaves the body. We do it every night. We go to sleep. The soul actually leaves the body every night. We go to sleep. And the soul is connected to the physical body by what's called a silver cord. And the silver cord is located in the solar plexus area of the physical body. And it's like a tether that we can travel for, if you want to say, miles and miles and then the other side, the other world, the astral world. And you see your teachers, your guides, your family members. You can review situations that are going to present themselves to you in your life coming up. In the morning, we come back into the body and we wake up in consciousness. What happens at the time of death, when the soul actually leaves the final time, that silver cord is severed. And there's an opening, if you will, of consciousness, an awareness, a full awareness, much more rounder, full, if you will. And there's a sense of buoyancy, a feeling of being totally free. And also, as Debbie said to me when she came back to me, she said, "I feel like I'm part of the oneness of the wholeness." And I thought, wow, that, you couldn't describe it better. The oneness of the wholeness. And you become part of everything. You are aware that you're part of everything, that the energy of this prana, the energy of life, that you're part of it all, and it's all part of you, that we're all connected. And, of course, we're met with loved ones who we've shared life with or lifetimes with, and they come to greet us and help us over. So there's this beautiful reunion that takes place as well.
I was going to say, dying is not generally lonely, is it?
No, not at all. They're waiting for us over the other side of life. They prepare for us. They wait for us. They track us. There's a wonderful messages that go out to the spiritual realms. Oh, so-and-so is coming back home. Let's prepare for them. There's a wonderful American Indian proverb, which I just love. I love to use this, where it says, when you come into this world, you cry and the world rejoices. When you leave this world, the world cries and you rejoice. That's very, very true.
That is true. This latest book that you've got, How to Heal a Grieving Heart with Doreen Virtue, she's just as amazing as you are, James.
She is amazing. Doreen is amazing. Doreen is selfless and one of the most connected people I've known. And, I mean, talk about integrity, she's all about that. And I'm very connected with her for many years. I've known her for over 30 years now. And we've always wanted to work together on a publication or do something together. And we just, our schedule has been very busy, and we really haven't had a chance to do it. And about a year ago or a year and a half ago, maybe 2 years ago, she was visiting me in California. And we looked at each other and we said, it's time. It's time. We have to do something together. And let's do something with grief to help people. And that's how the book came about. And it's a beautiful, beautiful book. And as we were talking about it, two butterflies went by us, flying right by us.
There's a sign right there.
Said, there you go. There's a sign. There's a sign for spirit. Got to do it. So the book is all full of butterflies and beautiful. Oh, it's just a beautifully illustrated book. And it's all channeled, if you will. It's all incredible.
I want to get into the concept when we come back, James, of heaven and hell with you on Coast to Coast AM. Well, have you had a chance to watch our television program yet? Beyond Belief. You can simply go to this website, www.beyondbelief.com. 10 days free to take a look at that and all the other specialized videos. Beyondbelief.com. And we'll take your calls next hour with James Van Praagh. James, what's the other side look like? Can you describe it?
It's different for every single person, but I can generally tell you that when they first cross over to the other side of life is there's a sense that it's a brilliant, brilliant luminosity, a light, a world of light. Everything is very solid there. They have buildings and they have beautiful gardens and flowers and colors, which we don't even know here. And everything is clear and crisp, and you really feel love in the air, and you're connected to everybody, and you feel that right away.
That movie, What Dreams May Come, with Robin Williams, somebody who wrote that movie understood what the other side might look like, didn't they?
Yes, I actually, one of the producers was a client of mine, and then they're preparing for that movie, and I helped them tell them a little bit about my experience of what it was like for my communications the other side of life. And I thought it was portrayed very, very well. I really did.
Heaven and hell. There's a big difference whether it exists.
Hell. Interesting, isn't it? I think that we have to, again, this is my experience of the 30 years of doing this work, and I think that we have to, of course, realize that the concepts of heaven and hell, you know, they vary depending upon people's religious backgrounds and images of what they think of the afterlife and so forth. But most people believe in the classic, you know, hell burning a fire and the devil pitchfork and heaven with the angels with the wings. I don't necessarily believe in that. I believe that there are many, many levels. I do believe that, as the Bible says, and my father has a house with many mansions, I believe there are various levels, if you will, that exist. And I think that they move or vibrate at different rates of speed. And I think you go to that level of that you're on based upon how you lived your life, how you treated another person. The amount of love that you gave out is the love that you will get back. You will go to that space, that dimension, if you will, depend upon the conditions that you created on this earth world. That's what I believe.
You just had a story tonight that the wacko who held those three women hostage.
Hung
it. Or somebody went in there and killed him. I don't know. But, I mean, what happens to a soul like that, Jay?
Well, I think that the soul isn't completely, is aware of itself. It has come into its own light. It's not even aware of its own light. I think that they're not matured. I think everything is evolution. I think we evolve spiritually. Our souls go through many, many experiences, whether it's on this earth or other places, other realms, other planets, other systems, who knows. But I think that we all emerge, we mature. And I think that's I'm saying this could be the case with this man. I'm not sure, because who knows, it could be some other factors involved, mental disease and so forth. But it could be that that soul has not evolved, that that soul is not even aware of its responsibility to another human. So it's all different levels of awareness, if you will, and responsibility as well.
But that soul is not going to be put in the batch with all the good ones.
Well, you know? I think it's important that we realize that really where you will go to is the condition where you will find yourself when you pass the other side of life, is really the condition that which you've created. Now, I would tell you that this person is mentally ill. If they're mentally ill and they pass the other side of life, there are many of those loved ones, the spirit side of life, who will help them. I believe a soul is somewhat perfect in its makeup, but I think they don't realize it. I think they haven't realized it yet. And I think that there are many, many beings on the other side of life who will help that, if you will, that mind which is not open, that mind which is distorted, and will assist them into realizing just what this is all about, who they are, and so forth. I believe there's always love, and I think love is really the way it is. I don't believe in evil. I don't necessarily believe in that, necessarily, but I think that's a concept that man has created. But I do believe in love, and I think there are different degrees of love, and I think that that's what we come back on this earth to learn. Is an aspect of love, and through other people, for our own lives, situations, experiences, that's what we're doing down here, to learn about love.
James, while we're talking right now, are there spirits all around us, all around you, me, people who are listening to the program?
Always, all the time. Again, they're just writing about this. You know, we have microwaves, we have, right now we're speaking on the radio, you know, I don't see you in front of me, but I hear your voice. It doesn't necessarily mean that you're not there, because people can hear our voices, but they don't see us floating over there. So these, if you will, there's life in different dimensions. The energy speeds up very, very quickly. You don't see them physically, but it does exist. So all around us, if you will, the spirit world interpenetrates the physical. And there are those people, as myself, a medium, who's able to attune themselves to that higher vibration, that higher frequency, and able to communicate with them. They're always around us. We share the space with them, I like to say.
Are they glad you're communicating with them, or would they rather remain silent?
Oh, I think they're very happy to. Well, it's very interesting, George, because for the most part, they're very happy that I'm able to do this and bring through loving messages to their loved ones on the earth. There's a completion, if you will. And that, I mean, they're always looking for mediums on the other side of life to come through and bring through messages, always, and let the loved ones know they're okay, that there is no death, that really they clear up the mind, clean the mind up. No, they're always looking for good mediums around, for sure. I have had experiences, though, which I think is very interesting. You know, you are what you condition to the mind. So if you sure. are someone who's a skeptical person, when you pass out of the physical body and you get to the spiritual level, you will still have that mindset about you. So there have been times where I've done demonstrations, and in the auditorium, I've seen people standing, spirits standing on the side of the room, saying to me, arms folded, I didn't believe in this in Earth. Why would I believe it now? I'm not going to talk to my daughter.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing what the mind does. But that was a mindset that that person had, and we will be what we think. We are what we think. And that's the level, again, we go to. You go to that level where there are other people who think exactly the same way you do. Like attracts like. So if you're a very religious person, let's just say an example here. Let's say you are a born-again Christian, very, very born-again Christian. You will go to a level where there are other people the same mindset, other born-again Christians. And you'll be on that level, and you'll still think you're going to rise from the dead. You'll still believe in the way that you, the text of the Bible, whatever your belief system dictates. But you still have those thoughts. You still have that. That's what you think. That's where you'll end up.
These spirits that haunt, why do they do that?
I think in some ways it's an emotional type of residue. So I think if there is some type of a connection to a place, an emotional connection to a place, or an emotional connection with a death, or a situation, that a family situation, a loving situation, and maybe that spirit had left quickly, or there was unresolved situation for the death. They don't have time to finish things up, unfinished business. I think sometimes they come back and they want things to be finished. I think sometimes there are those who don't want to move on to the light. I do believe that. Just imagine if there was a person who was raised in a very religious household, and their time came and they left the body, and they weren't very proud of the life they lived. They might not be very happy. They're not going to go into that light because they might be afraid they're going to go to hell. So why would they go burn in hell when they can just hang around the earth?
and make our life a living hell.
Well, depending on if you're going to open yourself up to that or not. Where do we put our minds?
Well, now that's an interesting take. Do we have the ability as living humans to repel these kinds of spirits?
Yeah, I totally believe that, yes. I think that we are all, I think we are pure loving beings. I think as souls, that's our vibration, that's our fabric, is pure love. And, you know, life is really all about choices. And choices are based upon love or fear. And I think if you live in fear, you'll attract that into your life. You'll attract limitations into your life. But if you bring love, you'll have an openness. And reproduction and an opening and expansion, if you will. So I think that's who we are. I think we are loving beings.
Look, you love life. I know you do. You approach it with a zest. I don't think you're in any hurry to leave. But are you comfortable when you do
something? It's very interesting because every time when I hear that someone leaves, I'm a little jealous. Because I know that they're having a great time, that they're out of the school, they've graduated from school, they're no longer encumbered with the physical body, the limitations of the physical self, that they're free, they've gone back home. Because this is not our home. This is our schoolroom. This is a hard place down here. This is a tough, tough school. And I'm a little jealous sometimes. But I know I have to do work here. I know that, you know, as a soul, there is no death. And I know that as a human, 70, 80, 90 years, is nothing in terms of spirit, nothing. It's like a blink of an eye. So I'll do my time down here because I'm helping to change lives. I'm helping people's hearts and minds. What greater work?
But you're in no rush to go.
No, I'm in no rush, and I take each day as a blessing, and I have an attitude of gratitude, I say. Attitude of gratitude because I really appreciate with each new day, it's like a new beginning and new opportunities and new choices. And just by one thought, one word, you can change someone else's life, who will change somebody else's life, and so forth and so on. So great opportunity each day.
What do they truly mean, James, when they talk about soulmates?
I think soulmates, that I believe what soulmates are those beings, souls, who have shared many experiences, many lifetimes, if you will, many, many lifetimes, many places, shared common experiences. So they begin to understand each other over and over and better and better. And it's just like when you have a friend and you've done things with them over and over again, you get to kind of know each other very, very well, kind of become part of each other. And I believe that's what a soulmate is. And I don't believe there's just one soulmate, but there's soulmates. There are many souls that we share lifetimes with. Sometimes they say, let's go back to school. You want to take a class with me? Come on back.
Yeah.
And you come back on this earth.
Well, see, I think a lot.
You recognize a soulmate right away when you meet them. You'll recognize them and say, oh, I know this person. I feel a connection here.
You click.
Yeah, you click. Exactly right. You click. That's a good way of putting it.
A lot of people have made the mistake, though, that they think you only have one soulmate in your entire life. And as you just said, that's not the case.
No, I mean, I would limit God that way. I wouldn't limit the soul. I think there are many, many experiences a soul has that we share with each other. I also believe, George, that we're all part of each other. I don't believe that we're really so individualistic and separate. I think that really on another level, and I think one of the most amazing things that happens is when we leave the body and we go to another dimension, one of the first realizations that we have is not this sense of separativeness, but a sense of connectedness. That we're all one, that we really are connected as one being. And it's like slices of the pie. And when you pass to the other side, you see, oh my gosh, I'm part of the pie. We're all in the same pie. So I think that that realization happens. So, yeah.
Now, you're also a believer in reincarnation, aren't you?
I do. I believe in reincarnation. I believe.
Okay, Jimmy, by the way, your phone is rattling like crazy. So
my phone is what?
Rattling like
crazy. Oh, rattling. Okay. I wonder who that might be. Yeah, I believe in reincarnation. I believe this soul comes back into a body and inhabits it, and we'll come back and learn lessons. I think we'll come back to learn these lessons. And reincarnation is the belief that coming back and inhabiting a body and learning those lessons, for sure.
Those that come back, but sometimes they're going to come back again and again and again. Why don't they learn it the first or second time?
Good question. Why don't they? Why don't they? It's the same thing on the earth when we have somebody who doesn't get it. You know, people believe that war is the right way. Not necessarily. Love is the only way there is. But people don't get that. People think that war is the only way there is. Gun control. Why don't we have gun control? I mean, we really have to come to that realization, what it's about. So, and everybody's evolving differently. Everyone evolves at different time, at different levels. And, you know, no one is the same per se. So we help each other to learn, if we will. We help each other to understand, hopefully.
You know, the other side, and we've talked about heaven and hell, but let's talk about good and evil. Does the devil exist, in your opinion?
I don't believe the devil exists. I believe it's a man-made concept, and I think that goes back to religious history. And I think that, you know, we need something to scare people and instill fear in people so you can control them. And I think that's exactly what the devil did. And, of course, it has to be a humanoid so people could relate to it. But I do think that really is just a tool of control. I don't believe that exists at all. I really don't. From what my point of view, from my experiences, I believe, as I said earlier, that it's really about love. And I think evil is just a limitation of love. It's a limitation of light. And it's lowering yourself, if you will. It's not honoring your truth, who you are as a spiritual being.
This complex version of life that we all live in, do you believe that it was put together by some kind of higher power?
Sure. Oh, definitely. Oh, definitely. I think that we are the puppets, and they are puppeteers that are working with us constantly, always, all the time. I think they're infusing their thoughts with us, influencing us, helping us, assisting us. I do believe that. And I think that it's always happening. I don't think it stops happening. I think we're part of that flow of consciousness all the time.
Now, even though you talk about in your work how to heal a grieving heart, does the soul, does the spirit, does it grieve at all?
Well, I think that when we look at it, we must understand it's a physical type of condition that you're talking about. So as a soul, you realize that there is no death, that you're still very alive. I think that the soul will miss the physical things, the family, the hugs, the touching, the physicality, if you will, of being close to somebody, but they know they will be with them again one day. And in many, many instances, they can affect their lives in more positive ways in the spiritual realms and influence them in positive ways than they were ever able to do in the physical. So in many cases, they're very happy to be where they are, and they know that they can help that person more.
That's an interesting take. I think you're probably right about that.
Yeah. That's my understanding about it. And I know when I worked with Princess Diana, I was involved with that at one point, and I know that she had a choice to make. She left the body in that car accident, and there was a choice. And what I've been told, and I won't go into that, but what I've been told is there was a choice given to her whether she wants to come back on the earth and continue or work in the spirit side of life. And she knew that she could accomplish more with her sons from the spiritual side of life than the physical, so she chose to move on that way.
You mean as opposed to reincarnating?
I'm sorry?
As opposed to reincarnating?
Well, as opposed to coming back into that body and finishing the body as a princess, she chose to work the spiritual side of life and influence them that way. So she'd have more of an effect, if you will, from that side.
Well, you know, that brings up an interesting question because, I mean, what, I don't want to get gory here, but, I mean, she was in this horrible, wretched car accident. The pain, had she come back, would have been unbearable, wouldn't it?
Unbearable. And I'm sure she would, of course, unconscious. So, you know, who knows what she would have been through. And there have been people have, of course, have come back and lived through that. But, you know, it's also karmic. I believe there is karma involved, and karma is action. And I think that there's definitely a sense with her and many of the royals that there's been karma that had to burn off, if you will, you know, cause and effect. So something from a past life, let's say, that she had to resolve or solve. And I definitely believe that was caught up in with karmic obligations. I definitely believe that.
The grieving work. Is the medical profession helping at all here, James?
It's very interesting, George, because the science community and the medical community are really coming closer than ever before, where they're recognizing that what energy is, and that we're all energy, and that thoughts are things, and that the mental outlook of a person is very, very important for healing. So they're starting to really open themselves up to other ways and other possibilities, which is so exciting and wonderful to see it. So I think they're getting on board slowly but surely, you know, to change their paradigms, but they're slowly coming along, just like I think everybody is, mainstream. I think it's slowly happening. So, I'm very excited to, you know, I work with a lot of medical professionals and healers, and they're medical doctors, but on the off times, they do just healing work, and just healing with their hands, just healing with, you know, meditation and so forth, sending energy, if you will. So I've seen it come a long way.
What are some of the telltale signs of someone who's in grief? I mean, severe grief after somebody has died.
Well, depression, number one. Depression is very prevalent, and there's a sense of shock and disbelief, and even trying to get up and wake up and getting out of the bed every day is difficult. So that's, you know, they become unplugged, if you will, desensitized. It's really important that when someone is going through grief, that you call them up, you socialize with them, you help them out, you talk to them, and you assist them. You don't speak down to them, but you're there, and they know you're there for them. It's important. Not many people know how to help other people grieve, and that's part of it because we all want to help the other person, but we don't know the right things to say, and that's understandable. So it'll be awkward and strange, but just being there for somebody is one of the most important things we can do.
Yeah, I think so, too. It's just fascinating. This new book, is it out there in the bookstores?
In October, but it's on Amazon. It's doing very well already in pre-order, and October comes out. And,
all right. James, we're going to come back and take some phone calls with you right here on Coast to Coast AM.